so this morning we'll be talking about loving the brethren. Loving the brethren, and just the thought about our love for one another, and how I'm so thankful for the testimony this week, meeting with friends, and how people said that we have a very loving church, and that people are very welcoming here, and that's a great testimony unto the Lord. But that's something that also we need to grow in, that we don't become complacent in, but it takes effort and intentionality to reach out to those that come. And people that come and visit here should feel the love of Christ at any time. And I pray that they do that. You feel comfortable here if you're visiting. Just make yourself at home. Listen, someone once said, it was a philosopher, I can't remember which one, and said, humanity is like a bunch of porcupines on a cold night. The closer they get together, the more they prick each other. And that can be very true. That can be very true. But God has called us into this great family, the family of God, just like we sang. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. Listen, He's called us into this great family. And so we have different personalities. We come from different walks of life. We're different. But you know what? That's what brings glory to God. Aren't you glad everybody's not the same? What a dull world that would be if we were all the same. But we have different personalities. We have different things that we like, preferences, all these things. But yet God brings us together as this great family of God to bring glory to Him. Not to glorify ourselves, but to bring glory to Him. And so I want us to think about the greatest mark of Christian distinction within this world today, or within the church, is love for one another. In fact, Christ said that you'll know that you have love for me if we have love for what? One another. They'll know, the outside world will know that you have love for me if we have love for one another. And so I want us to think about that this morning. There's no entity that is set apart that will reveal His love more than the church. The church, God has called us out. The ecclesia is the called out ones. That He's called us to represent His love in this world. And I'm going to tell you, with what we've heard on the news the last day or so, the world needs love, don't it? So sad. Ohio and Texas, that people lose, innocent people lose their life. What's the problem? Love. People understand it. It's really, let me tell you what the problem is, okay? I'm not being political. It's not guns, it's sin. Does everybody understand that? It's sin. And until people get their life right with a living God through Christ, these things will continue. Yet God has called us in the midst of this darkness to shine that light, to shine the light of love and the love of Christ into this dark world. What a great privilege as a family that we have that. And Peter's already told us that God commanded and called us out to be holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. So He's called us this holy living, and part of the holy living is loving one another, loving each other. And Peter, in his great book, heard this very thing from the lips of Jesus. If you remember when He's on the seashore and Jesus is restoring Him, what did He say? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So Peter is just pouring out what God has poured in through Christ in his life. And so I want us to think about this loving the brethren this morning. And I want us to look at some three principles this morning that comes in loving the brethren. First, love comes from conversion. We're going to read, though, before we get started. I'm so excited today. That's all right, lady. You're not the only one. Let's take in our hand the very Word of God, and let's stand on our feet in the reverence of that. We stand on our feet to reverence, thus says the Word of God. So it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, it says this: Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flowers fell away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, it says in chapter 2:1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch our lives, our hearts, right where they need to be touched through the preaching of your word. Hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So loving the brethren, some principles. And the first principle, love comes from conversion, verse 22. What does it say? Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so love comes from conversion. First thing that happens in conversion is what? We've been changed. Changed. Since, he says, or because would be a better word, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Peter's reminding them of their conversion. Something happened. Faith and obedience going together. They obeyed the truth and they put it into practice. They understood that the Lord Jesus came, just like the young lady this morning, that she read it in God's Word, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Word said you will be saved. Praise God for that today. He's still saving. And that conversion means a change comes into our life. If you haven't changed, you haven't been converted. Do you hear that today? There's a change that comes in our life. So since we've been changed, we obey. This obedience and truth are two sides of the same coin. They go together. Obedience, the truth of God's Word, and the obedient heart comes in that conversion. And we're changing. We live for Him. We no longer live for ourselves, like I explained in the baptisms that will come. That we're telling the whole world our public testimony that we have died to ourselves and we're born and raised again in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism is. We die to ourselves and we're raised anew to walk in Christ. And so it changes us. When I was 28 years old and came to know Christ, it was like I lived on a different planet. Hello. I'm serious. And in a sense, I did, because my whole sphere, it changed. I became a new creature in Christ. You know what? I didn't fit in some of the places that I used to fit in anymore. Anybody say amen? I didn't fit in with the same friends. In fact, they made fun of me and said I'd get over it. Praise God, I'm glad I did. He'll get over it, just give him time. He got religion. Come on. Oh, he just got some religion. He'll get over it. It wasn't religion. It was a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, my Savior. And guess what? It's still new every morning. It's still good. It's still changing. He's still working on me. He's got a lot of work to do. Can anybody say amen besides Sandy? He's still working on me. You know what happened? My nature changed. Said, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. My nature changed. It's not going to church that makes you saved. Going to church does not make you a Christian, just like standing in your garage don't make you a car. That's about as simple as I can put it. Just coming to church don't make you a Christian. It is something. I come to church. I'm actually a pastor of your church. Bless your heart. Because something happened in my life, because He changed me and transformed me into this new creature. That, you know what? I just started loving everybody. I can't help it. I love you. I love you. I love you. And yes, listen, it's not always easy to love you. Does anybody say amen? It's not always easy, but it doesn't come from a love that generated from David Cooper. It comes from a love of the Spirit of God that lives inside of me because of what Jesus Christ has done. And on those cold nights when the porcupines are pricking, listen, you can get all through it. Say, just draw a little closer. We're going to get warm tonight. All right? We get along because of what Christ has done for us. We're not perfect. We're far from it. We have our own problems. Yeah, we'll have problems. It's a family. Guess what? Just like Lee said today, you're going to have problems sometimes as a family. You know what you do? You say, I'm sorry. I love you. And you go on, don't you? You know what we'll do? We'll get our feelings hurt. I'm mad at him. I'm just mad. I just can't. I'm not going to have anything. I'm not going to speak to them anymore. Show me scripture and verse, please, and that. That's all I ask. If you show me scripture and verse on that, I'll agree with you. But I promise you, I can show you scripture and verse that disagrees with that. That says, you know what, we lay it aside because we keep the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Not our preference, not our wants, but Jesus Christ. And so we've been changed. It's not our, it's our nature. It's not where we are, it's who we are. Come on. That means wherever we are, we're in Christ, and that's what changes us. Guess what? If you've never been changed, it's exciting this morning. You can. You can be. You don't have to leave here the same. I want you to know when you walk out these doors that Christ is a part of your life, that He came in at one point. There was a point, it might be over a spread out time for people that grew up in a Christian home and mom and dad and all that. You might not can nail down a point like a heathen like me can. But I promise you there was a time in your life that Christ came and He changed. And there was a point where you realized that I was a sinner, that Christ died for me, I received His payment for my sin, and I became a new creation. And if you can't do that this morning, you're gambling with eternity. Do you understand? Do not walk out these doors without knowing that. Why? There's no guarantee. El Paso, Ohio, there's no guarantees. You've got to be ready. At any time, God could require our life. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because we've been changed. But not only have we been changed, but we've been given a sincere love. Look what it says. In sincere love of the brethren. He's saying, hey, not only has He changed us, but He's given us this thing called love. And it's sincere. What does that mean? It's not fake. It's not phony. It's not hypocritical. Say, I love you, and then talk and cut somebody down when they turn their back. That's not love. And God's called us to sincere love. He enables us to love one another. Why? We're siblings in Christ. Do you ever remember growing up with siblings? Man, I grew up with four sisters. He said, you're spoiled to death. Woo! I don't know whose house you was in, but they beat me like a, they stretched me out like a cat. I had to learn to survive. But you know this? They were my siblings. They could beat me. Or I might could beat on them a little bit, but you better not mess with my sisters, okay? You better not mess with one of my sisters. Why? Them's my sisters. Just like you're my sister and you're my brother, and we should be in loyalty together, and we should stand up for one another. And somebody comes and cutting your sister or your brother down, you should say, wait a minute, that's my sister. That's my brother. Let's pray for them. I bet you that'd put the gossip out real quick. Let's stop and pray for them. Boom. Jesus said He's given us this sincere love. When I married Sandy Cooper, it's been now 28 years. Boy, it took a minute, didn't it? That was just that last week, too. No, I married her. I fell in love. I'll never forget when the doors of that church opened up back there. It was one of those moments. Yeah, I cried like a little baby. But you know what? I love her more now than I did 28 years ago because my love grows. It is not a one-time deal. I love her, and she loves me, and that's how it is. Our love grows for one another. It doesn't wane. It doesn't stop, but it grows. And so we as a church can't just say, well, we're a loving church and be still and sit down. No, we've got to continue to be a loving church. We've got to continue to walk out, reach out to people in our community and all around with the love of Christ and showing them the love of Christ. Why? Because that's what He commanded us to do. Because he gave us this sincere love. And listen, you can't love Christ and not love His church. I hear people talking about church all the time. This and that complaining about the church. You can't love Christ and not in His church. Why? They go hand in hand. Let me show you. Scripture and verse, not Dave's opinion. 1 John 4:20. Anyone that says he loves God but does not love his brother is a liar. Don't tell me, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't care much for the church. You're not reading Scripture. That's not biblical. You love your brothers and sisters regardless of if they're doing it for you or not. It doesn't say that. It says love your brother and sister. We're all given to this purity. And we all, this is how we relate back and forth to the family. Conversion is more than your your past. You can't get past your past. And people say, well, I'm introverted. Listen, according to the Scripture, you have no excuse why. Conversion supersedes everything. A new creature, you can find the power to even get past your past or who you are and say, in Christ, I will love my brothers and sisters. I will love Jesus and I will love each other. And I won't blame it on this is the way I am. Saying you're an introvert's no excuse. Why? Conversion supersedes everything. It supersedes everything. Changed. Given to a sincere love, but lastly, from the heart. What does it say? Love one another fervently with a pure heart. It's deeply felt. Loving with loyalty. Fervent from with a pure heart. It's not a thought, but it's lived out in front of us all the time. We're going to disagree about things, but if the main thing is the main thing, listen, it comes from that sincere heart. Why? Because God has changed our heart. God has changed our heart, and it's deeply felt. Fervently. You know, we could disagree about some things, and you know what it does? It's constructive because it can lead us to better decisions, and it's all about His glory. It's all about growing together as a family. Fervently, deeply, or it means constantly. Same love Jesus had for us. He forgives, and this, why? Because we're part of the family. God put us together. We're not here by just chance happening. But God puts us together. So it comes from conversion, but secondly, love comes from the Word. Look what it says in verses 23 through 25. Love comes from the Word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all glory as man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word which by the gospel was preached to you. So he talks about this incorruptible seed through the Word of God. We must love because we've had this seed that's planted in us, because it's an imperishable nature that comes from the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. It's imperishable. Think about that seed. It's incorruptible. Well, what do we know about seeds? What do we know? Howard's foot, we prayed for him. But when I came up here about 5 years ago, he gave me green bean seeds, and he didn't even know what it was. I know they have pink tips, but this had a purple tip on it, so we just called it purple tip beans. Some of the best beans, we can them every year. Good hardy bean that grows, you can just stick it in this carpet right here, and I believe it'd come up. It's one of those there. Well, over the last little bit, last year when we went to Africa, it rained 12 inches, and I lost a whole crop of seed, and I about lost the seed off of them. I had one little handful. Guess what? That handful is a row of beans up there that I'm letting go to seed. This year, I'm not going to harvest any of them so that I don't lose that seed. Why is that important? You lose the seed, you lose life. You don't have it anymore. And he's saying that this Word is like that seed. The seed is in the life. How many times have we walked through the woods? Can you believe a huge white oak comes from a little acorn? A little acorn the size of your thumb. Why is that? Because the life is in the seed, and he calls it. That sapling emerges from the acorn, and from the acorn, and it causes this huge tree to grow. So it is with the Word of God. It's like a seed. The Bible is alive. It's alive, folks. It touches us, and it grows, and it helps us to grow in the Lord. It's alive. It contains within itself everything necessary for life. That is why. That is why when I led these young people to the Lord, I get the Word of God out. I let them read it because they don't hear that it's a man, but they hear that it's thus says the Word of God. Why? Life comes from the Word, not from a man, but from the Word of God. It's the seed that's planted that can grow and grow and grow. That's why you hear us at Vacation Bible School when we talk about the seed that's planted in their little life. Seed is planted. The seed of the gospel goes in every child that's here. Why? It's up to God to make it grow. We don't have to worry about it. We can't make the seed grow. Only God can. We plant it, we water it, but God makes it grow. That's an amazing thing. And he calls the Word of God this seed of life. But life itself is only natural resort of God's Word. Peter is saying, love is all from this. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from this living Word of God, this seed that grows and it germinates and it grows more and more in each and every one of us because it comes from something that can never be extinguished, something that is eternal, something that stands forever. And then he quotes Isaiah 40, and we were just in that on Wednesday nights. If you're here on Wednesday nights, we just come out of Isaiah chapter 40. It's a wonderful chapter to read. But listen, Isaiah chapter 40, we have to think about the context so we just don't pull it out of. Why did Peter use Isaiah chapter 40 where it talks about all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord stands and endures forever. Why did he use Isaiah chapter 40? It's in the context of the Babylonian exile. Listen, his people, God's people have been exiled into Babylon. I want you to put yourself in their shoes. It'd be like you being in America and somebody taking you in a foreign land. It's so foreign to your thinking that you can't even grasp it. Guess how, what? That's what they're like. They're in a foreign land. God's people are there. And they're looking at King Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful king that's conquered everything, every place, even the city of God. And you know what he's saying? Hey, all grass. Oh man, it's like the grass of the field. You know what he's saying? Old Nebuchadnezzar, he ain't going to be there forever. Hello? No man lasts forever. It don't matter how powerful that he is. And I want you to understand this morning. You'll not last forever. Can anybody say amen? I don't know about you, but it's becoming more evident and evident every year that I ain't going to last forever. There's some things that's starting to wear out. You think, I remember playing basketball. Man, I found, in my 40s, man, I could tear it up, right, and play basketball. Then my hamstrings started pulling. Black from the tip of my hiney all the way down to my ankle, okay? That's a hamstring pull, by the way, okay? You don't have to wonder what happened. Well, just look, the color of this phone, all the way down. It's like, what happened? Guess what? It's called getting old. And you can laugh. Guess what, now, you young guys? I used to think the same way. Hey, it could happen to me. Guess what? You don't see me out on the court much anymore, do you? Why? We waste away. Peter's saying, listen, if we're not careful, we get our eyes off of this. All men are temporal on this earth. They fade away. But the Lord, word of the Lord stands forever. God's word will be forever, just like your soul will. One day in these days, this old physical life's going to pass away if God tarries. But my soul will live forever. I will go in to be with the presence of Jesus Christ, and the word of God's going to be there too. Do you understand? The eternal thing that's in this room is the souls of men and women and the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to last. Everything else is going to be gone. Why do we put so much effort into everything else when it's just temporal? The physical will pass, but the spiritual will not. He told his children that he'd bring them back in 70 years. You know what happened? 70 years, they went back to Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar died. Another king took over. Persians took over. And they went back home. Why? God's word said it would. Don't look at the temple. Get your eyes off of the eternal. That's what Peter's telling them. Love comes. Listen, love comes from our conversion. Love comes from the word of God. Do you understand? It has a vertical and a horizontal plane. When we love God, we can love one another because we have this love of God in us. And then and you know what? It oozes out of us. We can't help but love one another. You say, wait a minute, I have a hard time with that. Something's wrong in your life. We have to look and we constantly are working on it. Why? Because the truth is, God didn't say love them if they're loving you back, did he? No, where does it say that? He just said love one another. So we understand that this love comes from conversion and love comes from the word. But lastly, love must grow, and that's what we're talking about here. Look at 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you're not growing, you're not alive. Hey, that's hard. If you're not growing, you're not alive. If something is grow and alive, it will grow. Do you understand that? That's a principle in nature. That's a principle we can understand. If it's alive, it's going to grow. We don't have to come up with programs and something else that we put 1, 2, 3. If you're alive, you're going to grow. You don't have to wait on an outreach. You can go across your street at any time and say, let me tell you about what Jesus has done. Come on and go to church with me. We like the programs. We want to program the life right out of it. If it's alive, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. Why? That's the Word of God. It grows. I'm not saying anything wrong with these things. It's when we put the stock in it. That's where we end up a lot of times. That's where our default is. When the truth is, God wants to grow us individually. And He's saying, listen, when we do that, if you're alive and grow, then there's going to be some things that happens that you grow out of. Look what it says. Rid yourself. What does it say to rid ourselves of? Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. We have this great salvation. And so we're not waiting on something. We already have it. And it says, because we have this, they're just putting off that it ought to go on in our life. That we die. We die to our flesh and we die to the world and these things. And part of that is we lay aside this malice. Look, this is what we battle against. Malice, wickedness. You love within our church. You can't act like the devil, okay? When there's love within our church, you're not going to act like the devil to one another. Does anybody say, oh, amen? Why? We lay aside the malice. We love our brothers and sisters. It says deceit and hypocrisy. What's that talking about? We're not two-faced. We're not two-faced. We don't have deception. We don't have trickery. We don't just flatter one another. You know what flattery is? It's just all about me. You want somebody to love you. So you'll just tell them, hey, you sure are looking good today. Hey, you're so smart. I just love you. You're just trying to want somebody to love you. That's deceit. It's trickery. He's saying we lay those things aside, evil and all evil speaking. But listen, somebody gossips about your brother and sister, let's pray for them. It'll stop the gossip. Stop and pray. Stop the gossip. If you're a Christ follower, you know what you need to be? Be like Him. Be like Him. In fact, the Scripture tells us our goal is to be Christ-like. And you know what? We have a long way to go, don't we? Goodness. He reminds me every day, the closer I get to Him, the more sin that I see in my own life. We're all growing. And here's the deal. Don't image manage. You're waiting on people to think that you have it all together or you're successful. Let's just be honest. If you want to have some good friends, pull the mask off. Why do we have to act like we got it all together when we have hardships and troubles and we ought to be able to pull the mask off in our brothers and sisters and say, man, listen, I'm struggling. Pray for me. We don't have to have this certain image that we got it all together. Listen, I want you to know this morning, if everybody listening, your pastor don't. Oh, I hope it don't take you by surprise. He puts his pants on in the morning just like everybody else. He struggles just like any other man. There's hardships in life. We all go through it. Let's go through it together, not pretending. Not pretending like we got it all together, but understanding that we're in this thing together. We have a family that God's brought us to for that purpose. No smoke and mirrors. If you want a genuine relationship, take the mask off and get rid of the baloney. Notice with an E, that's good country. Baloney, not bologna. There you go. Be real. If you want to be a friend, if you want a friend, be a friend. He has given us love, so get rid of the garbage. Lastly, crave the Word. Crave the Word. What does it say? As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How do you get rid of evil in your life? The expulsive power of the Word of God. You displace it by replacing. You crave it. You crave it. You don't have to teach a baby to crave milk, do you? Comes out craving milk. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter how old we are. Act like a newborn when it comes to the Word of God. Crave the Word. Because He says when you've tasted it, nothing else is going to satisfy you.
read a lot of books, a lot of good books, a lot of good Christian books that can help. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like this. Slices and dices. Oh, my goodness, sometimes I have to lay it down. Oh, that hurt. Most of the time when I'm preparing this sermon, I want you to know this sermon just as much for me as it is you, okay? And you sometimes you'll just weep over it. Oh, the Lord will just take and slice you at an area of weakness in your life. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for the Word of God that makes a difference? Grow up to live graciously. This will expel the evil that's within us. You want the evil out? Replace it with the Word. It's pretty simple. Sounds pretty easy. Most difficult thing you'll ever do. But let me tell you, it's worth it. Why? Because it makes us more Christ-like. Applications and we're done. Come and play, Linda. Let me ask you first. How is your love for your brothers and sisters? Now, we've seen from the Word of God. You can't say I love Jesus and have aught against your brother or sister. You just can't. It's easy for us to say, well, I don't like them. Here's the deal. Scripture tells us we're supposed to love. Number two, what's keeping you from growing in Christ? What is it in your life that is keeping you from growing in Christ? You know what Scripture says? Get rid of it. Expel it. But replace it with what? Number three, are you in His Word? Let's stand on our feet. Are you in His Word? How much of the Scripture have you read this week? I'm not asking you to answer that between you and the Lord. And I don't mean just getting it out and reading it because you had this checklist. Oh, I've got to read this today and that today. And you know what it just becomes? Like reading a newspaper. There's nothing wrong with using that to get you through, but listen, it should be touching our life and making a difference in our life. And how do we know that? Man, when we love one another. Listen, there's already one young lady got saved here this morning. Shut your eyes before the Lord. Somebody else need Jesus? He's here. Have there been a change in your life? Have there been a time in your life that you received Christ as your personal Savior? That you said, I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus Christ, and you received Him. Is that, has that happened to your life? That has it come receive Christ. He's here. How about your love for the brethren? How's your love? What's God saying to you? You just respond in obedience. You don't wait on anybody else either. What's God saying to you? The altar's open. I'm not going to tarry long either. I'm not going to beg. The Spirit of God does the work. No other found. What is it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Linda. I want you to know something this morning. You don't have to walk an aisle. You can just receive it right where you're at. And if you've never received Christ, all you have to do is acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And ask God to forgive you. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. The Scripture says you will be saved. But that happens, somebody's going to know about it. It's nothing that you do individually or on your own. Or if you've thought that you had and you haven't and you get it right, you're going to let somebody know because the change happens. God's going to do it. Whatever I can do to help you on that path, please let me know. I promise I'll be as real as you can be. I'm not a fake or phony bone. I don't want you to think I got it all together. I can tell you where God's taken me from, and praise God, if He can save me, He can save anybody. So just don't let your past keep you from it, that's for sure. 6 o'clock tonight.